Big Show. Yes, I'm back. I am here to discuss the week's technology news with a great panel that's slightly depleted, but we've got someone on the way, maybe, if everything gets finished in time. Who knows? I'm not saying any more because I'll get myself into trouble. Joining me, an absolutely eclectically, wonderfully, fantastically panel group of people. Starting with, righty, top left, how you doing, boy?
Hello, mate. Welcome back. Long time no see.
It has been. It's been too sodding long.
It has, isn't it?
By a line and a half. Yeah, no worries at all. But I've been busy, but I've been all right.
We're back in business.
We are, mate. As life in review country.
It's all right. Doing a really big one at the moment. I mean, review.
Really?
Yeah.
Not a shit.
No.
That's lucky.
I wasn't going to feed you that one, but don't start,
dude. I'm tired and I've had beer. I cannot control anything that's going to come out of my mouth this evening.
I must drink more.
No, absolutely. So you've been reviewing. What are you reviewing for us?
Doing a bit of an iOS 7 rundown. Actually, now we've got it. It's it mixes opinion, doesn't it?
And do you love it? Just to give us a general.
I love it. My wife's now talking to me after installing it on her phone.
What's she got? What's she got? A BlackBerry.
The 4S. But she wasn't too impressed out of the door. Put it that way.
No, 4S. It runs absolutely dreamily on a 4S, mate.
It looks great, but she thinks it looks like a Leapfrog tablet.
Well, in the chat room, wants to know how much I've had to drink.
How much?
Not that much, actually.
It's the fumes. That's all it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, maybe not. iOS, when's it going up then? When's the review coming up of iOS 7?
Tomorrow afternoon.
Okay. I look forward to reading that because I've been using it in the developer account.
Yeah, well, I thought I'd go in depth for kind of those who don't have it, you know, maybe a few converts. You never know.
And based on the fact that I've not been around for the last 4 weeks, this is no longer an Apple free zone just for this week. So, but we're not going to do too much on it. So we have got some other stories like BlackBerry going bust. Mr. Holtzman, now then, for those of you that haven't been around for a while, Carrie Holtzman was one of the inaugurating members. He was one of the founding fathers, nay, of the Big Show.
Right.
Him, Andy McCaskey, me and Sarah used to sit here and try to figure out the Skype problems.
But when was the last time I was on?
Before I grew a beard.
Yeah, so it's been that long. Long enough for you to grow a beard.
I do it in school shootings in the US, but there's too many of them.
If I don't shave for about 3 or 4 months, you might see some stubble.
Yeah, I'm not good, you see. I mean, I needed to, when it came to November, I actually started growing mine on the 1st of October, and no one noticed until November that I was growing it, so...
Yeah, I feel you. I know exactly what that's like. But hey, it's thank you for inviting me back. It's been far too long, my friend, and I'm not drunk at all. I'm completely sober, and I'm not sure that I properly prepared myself for tonight's show.
No, you, me, and the rest of the Hairless Chess Club.
I like to consider myself evolved.
Good lad. Yeah, you're losing the body here. Got you. See, that's good thinking. Batwinch in the chat room says you're still trying to sort out the Skype problems, Ewan. Thanks. That's a bit nasty, but never mind. Next to him, Gazmaz.
Good evening.
Is that tomorrow's shirt laid out behind you?
It could be, actually, yes. It could well be.
Is it one of the options?
It's one of the options. I'm actually doing Stowe School.
Finish that sentence, Jason. I'm actually doing...
Stowe School. So it will be... Sir, excuse me, but could I just ask you about that last decision you made?
Really?
Well, in fact, it won't even be that, because they don't query anything a ref makes. Brilliant rugby and very polite.
Awfully sorry, sir.
Yes, awfully sorry. I just got in your way.
Would you like me to bend over?
Yes, please.
Yeah. Not done the safeguarding course then.
And if the person sat above me...
Yeah.
Feels like, you know, the person in the corner doing his homework because we're all having a drink, then.
Yeah, no, it is the middle of the day for Carrie.
Yeah, I know.
It's not fair. It's not fair.
I understand.
You're not drinking, Carrie, right?
I've
you got some Jack in there.
Coca-Cola right here.
Yeah, but
the elixir of life. What more could I want?
Absolutely. And could I just mention.
Only when mixed with Jack Daniels.
Can I just say, Mrs. G, I put iOS 7 on the iPad, and Mrs. G said, you've made it all boring to me. So,
who's made all what all boring?
When I put iOS 7 on the iPad, she said, because she uses the iPad quite a lot, as well as it's kind of a family device, really. And she said, it was my fault, of course, I'd made it all boring.
Well, now, I was talking to Steve last night, and he said, I was going to tweet out this morning how many people have run the wife gauntlet with iOS 7. And it's true, because you've got the hand-me-down phones to the missus, and you stick iOS 7 on it, and then you find out you get smacked around the head the following day when it's like, what the hell have you put on my phone? But she only said you were boring. It was boring. Sorry, Gary.
No, it was boring. Not me was boring. Yeah.
Of course not. So, the week in tech, I have no clue what's going on. I have had my face inside a computer building a presentation for the last 7 days, which got shown today and did quite well. Well chuffed. So, we've had a bring a story party. Would anyone like to kick us off?
Yeah, I'll kick it off. Yeah, there's a great headline today about Microsoft saying with the new Xbox One, it's meant to lay horizontally. If you put it vertical, you are on your own.
Really?
Yeah, basically they're saying it's not a heat issue or anything. It's just that the optical drive isn't designed to run vertically.
Really?
So I thought, you know, here we got a product isn't even out yet, and they're already warning you about
Red Ring of Death.
How you set it on the table.
So what's the context of this? I mean, they're saying it's just... I mean, I've never seen an optical drive that doesn't run vertically unless you go back to 1989. You're kidding, right, Kerry?
No, here's the story. It says, here's a heads up for any of you who may have pre-ordered or otherwise plan on purchasing an Xbox One game console. Depending on how adventurous you're feeling, you may need to rearrange your audio-video cabinet if you've already made room for the console and assumed it would be okay to place it vertically. Turns out that's not okay. And you could actually damage the console if you don't lay it flat. Or so says Albert Pinello, who's the Senior Director of Product Management and Planning at Xbox, who spoke at GameSpot at the Tokyo Game Show this week. He says, we don't support vertical orientation. Do it at your own risk. It wouldn't be a cooling problem. We just didn't design the drive for vertical. Because it's a slot-loading drive, we just didn't design it for both.
Well, now there's an interesting thought, because it's a slot-loading drive, and Windrider in the chat room has said... some time ago before we came back from the freeze, my MacBook Pro doesn't like having its DVD vertical. Well, the fact it's a MacBook Pro, I would have thought that putting it vertical is actually fairly impossible to make it work anyway, but fair enough. But
here's what I love,
MacBook Pro's a slot, for your benefit, Gary, a MacBook Pro is a slot DVD drive. Yeah. So this is a slot issue, perhaps.
Well, this is this next part of the article, this next couple of lines is just the epitome of Microsoft and how disconnected they are from reality. Pinello reasons, that's the guy they're talking to from Microsoft, that through Microsoft's own research, the company found that 80% of people situate their Xbox console horizontal anyway.
Really?
So that's what they're saying. From our research, like they knock on everybody's door. Excuse me, can I see how you've got your Xbox?
Oh, that's probably like 15 people, dude. That's a survey.
It's ridiculous that they come to these preposterous conclusions based on some little sample they take and go, well, based on the so many people that we checked, it's 80% of them have it horizontal. So we multiply that times a million users. So that means 800,000 of them have it horizontal. It doesn't work that way, Microsoft.
Oh, when's proper statistical analysis ever made a difference, Zoom?
Hey, that new Coke was a brilliant example.
Well, I mean, if they did do that calculation, then they're obviously discarding 20% of the marketplace.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, it's a one.
It's a one.
Actually,
well, the last sentence of the article says, even if it's true, 20% is a big chunk to flip the finger at.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot of money.
A horizontal finger. I think it would have to be this way.
Well, I think it's a slot road and drive thing, because, I mean, a Windrider's carried on in the chat room and he said... his point's good. He's using the 12 South Book Arc, which is meant to hold the MacBook Pro on its side. It's not like a book, as I was thinking. It's on a little groove thing. And he was saying he fudged the plist so that you could use the MacBook Air USB super drive with it, but he's not using the USB drive. Now, I haven't got a USB drive in my MacBook Pro. I've taken it out and put it in a separate OptiBay, so it may not. But, I mean, why would you make it? I mean, the thing is, with an Xbox, it's classic fodder for people's rack mounts for hi-fi and that kind of stuff, I would have thought. And also kids in bedrooms where they've got it next to the TV and the TV is taking up the desk, so it's got to go vertical at the end. You've got no... And a lot of TVs, you know, you look at the TV I've got down here, that's not big enough to slide an Xbox under. So
it's all about footprint.
Yeah, but if you look at the... Because the Xbox promotion has been like a cock-up from start to finish, but if you look at all the PS4 advertisements, they all sit vertically. In every promotional advert the PS4 does, it's a vertical console. So they've got that right. They've got the second-hand games right. But
how does the 360 stand?
Either, because it's got...
It's either, but every 360 I've ever seen in any house has been vertical.
Yeah, mine's vertical.
Yeah, mine's horizontal, but that's... But my Wii stands straight up.
No, my Wii goes straight down. Altman, you had a career before you came on this show. That's what I was going through in Natco's head.
That's before I had a Wii.
Absolutely. No, because I mean the thing was the Xbox 360 had the little grooves on the drive, didn't it? When you pulled the tray out, there was like four notches that held it in the vertical position. If you could load it vertically and it wouldn't be an issue. So it seems a bit short-sighted to me. And if you're saying that the PS4 is advertising vertical, then horizontal by nature is covered. Would that be fair to say?
You'd say so, wouldn't you?
You would have thought.
If you look at, because they've released the PS Vita TV thing? There's some promotional videos for that recently. And in all of those videos, the PS4 was standing vertically. So it can obviously do it. You know, I just think the Xbox promotion has just been an absolute fail from start to finish. I wouldn't buy one. I'm not a PS3, 4 kind of person, but I wouldn't buy an Xbox One based on this absolute cock-up before it's even released.
It's the thing you've got with that. I mean, they had all the climb downs as well, didn't they, on the charging? And backward compatibility and all of those kind of things. So it's been an absolute fudge from the start. Tone has confirmed that his stands vertically.
Good man.
Thank you. And Angela says she doesn't know whether I remind her of Jeremy Clarkson or James May. Now, actually, back when she's not typing particularly well, she's had problems all day with typing, I have to admit. And apparently Angela doesn't know whether I reindeer of Jeremiah Clarkson or James May. Renindeer was actually the correction, but never mind. Windrunner wants an Atari 2600.
I'm worried if Tone is standing vertically because he's on a bus.
Oh, hang on, here we go. Amish Holtzman has got a Twitter. Here we go, it's Atari 2600!
Let's go! Go!
Wait, see this.
No,
I got this too. What's this? An Atari? What model's that?
800.
Classic.
No, but what I wanted to show you was
you got a BBC B back
wireless
there.
Wireless controller from a 2600. Wait, are you laughing at my joystick? Look at the receiver. Check out the receiver. It's got an old aerial antenna on it.
Oh, it extends. Can you get Radio Few? Can you get Radio
Come
Europe on
I paid
that?
A lot of money for that.
You can get Radio Europe on that, dude.
I need a moment.
I gotta get my combat on.
Carrie Amish Holtzman, thank you, man.
Just in case you don't think that's real,
there it is. Oh, look at that! I played on one of those around at Philip Gould's house.
He's actually got wood on the front.
Holtzman's got wood. And it still, it fits. If you're still got it.
When I say I still got it, I don't think I mean the same thing most people's.
I'd forgotten all about those toggly switchy things. God.
Look at that slot action.
Does that do you have a problem with that drive falling out vertically?
Mint right there.
It is. If you're on audio, this means absolutely nothing to you.
That is mint in box. That'll at least bring $10 on eBay. All right. Gotta watch out for those obscure comments in the chat room.
If this isn't an advertisement to watch this show through some sort of video, then I don't know what it is.
You've got to. If you're listening on audio and you've crashed the car by this point, don't. Get yourself it on video and watch it. Have a good reason. That's what are you? Do you collect Ataris then, Holtzman?
Well,
obviously, but
and I've got my phone.
That's not an Atari.
Well, no, but I stick with what works, man. How hard it is to get one of these on the internet?
Screw buying an Xbox when you can get an Atari that's 20 years old to work.
Here's another one.
That's a Commodore.
No,
that's an Atari.
It's an 800XL Atari.
So you collect Ataris, and do they work?
Yeah, this the 800 works.
Have you got a TV that takes
that's the problem.
Have you got a TV that takes a coax socket? Yeah.
And I spent hard-earned money so I could buy this stupid thing, so I could
basic.
Yeah,
10 CLS 20 print Holtzman.
Oh. All right. Yeah, no, you little adapter to convert from the RCA to a coaxial and then just screw it onto the back of the coaxial connection on the back of the TV. That's all it needs.
They're not in the loft. They're to hand. That's the best thing about it.
Well, they're very dusty. So they've been in the garage for a while.
Holtzman, you have got three guys here who are absolutely in awe of you and an entire chat room. Right. And not the rest of the people that are listening on audio are completely and utterly f***ing lost.
Well, I've given them a reason to check out the video.
Good man. I love that, mate. That's one of the best pieces. We've missed you. We've really freaking missed you.
Antiques Roadshow.
No kidding. That was it.
And that was just me being here.
That was forget Fiona Bruce, mate.
Yeah.
She can shake that sexy thing somewhere else. I want an Atari 2600 now. I'm going on eBay after this.
There you go.
There we go. Excellent.
There's the homework.
What was the path from an Atari 2600 to an Xbox 360 to an Xbox One?
Sitting vertical.
Never mind.
Yeah, you know, now that you mention it.
Oh, go on.
It's a vertical adapter.
No. Did you actually do this vertical?
Play that vertical.
I don't think I've ever seen anybody use one of these vertically back in the day when we used these. I don't think it ever occurred
to save space.
It would have had a table all to itself.
Yeah, well.
And that was solid state.
On the floor
state.
In front of the TV because the TVs were on the floor back then.
Yeah.
And that was solid state, man.
That's why it still works.
Solid state. There you go. Solid state was the big selling point. Quality, mate. Absolute quality.
I love that wireless controller. I think
the wireless, dude, you got to show the wireless controller one more time.
Yeah, I think that's the end of the show, though.
We've done an hour.
We can't follow that.
Look at that wireless controller, man.
I think you could get about 6 feet with this wireless controller. Yeah,
that's like a radio from Vietnam.
This is great because, like, when you're, you can call in an airstrike with this thing.
Airstrike.
The TV's rolling, 25-inch TVs was a big console TV back in the 80s. And so how far away did you need to get from the darn thing? You know, could you get 20 feet away with this? If you could, you couldn't see the screen anyway.
Dude, you could be on the opposite side of the fucking world and that would work.
Is your Pac-Man moving left right now?
Was that a question directed at Angela?
You got this Xbox controller. It's got like 16 buttons on it. This is what we had, and we were happy to have it. I mean, you just got up, down, left, right, and
the
fire.
Big red button.
That's it.
Oh, I need to be alone with my thoughts.
Who needs a big car when you've got one of those? That's what I want to say.
And when you were playing Pac-Man, you didn't even use the button. You just He didn't even have angles. He literally just went up, down, left, and right. I mean, Frogger, same way.
And it worked while... Did you sit on the couch on the opposite side of the room using that?
It's got an off-on switch on the back.
Yeah, because you wouldn't want to run down the car battery that has to run it.
You know, maybe that's why this weighs so little. Maybe it doesn't have batteries in it.
Yeah, because
it still has a battery in it.
Because the battery's external. Oh, God.
You don't see many of those these days, do you?
Duracell, yeah.
What is it? P40? No, what's the number of that battery card?
Beautiful. Pete in the chat room's tried to trump you. He said, I used to use a broom handle with a hook on one end to control the TV when I lived in a caravan. Which is not really the same thing. Belts has spotted it's a 9-volt battery. Yeah. And Graham has shown his age by saying, no, it's not. It's a PP3.
Hey, I knew it became a problem.
Forget double A's and all that shit. Oh, dude. Oh, story number two. Go on, right, you top that, mate.
I can't. It sounds pretty dull out of that.
What are you talking about then? Well, iOS 7, bollocks.
No. What, you want to do that, do you?
No, I fucking don't. Bloody move on.
Oh, whatever happened to joysticks anyway?
What are you doing, mate? Have you got a story for us? Oh, Gaz.
Yeah, I'll jump in then.
All right, Gaz, go.
I'm going to top that, but this is kind of a bit off the ball. It's off the wall. It's got ALL in it.
You send off for off the ball, mate.
True, that's true. This is a story which I spotted on BBC website, and this is the big show, so I can do anything, yeah?
Anything you like, tech-based. Well, that doesn't matter anymore, clearly.
It doesn't matter anymore, no. Bumblebee Fly inspires bad weather robot design. How about that?
That needs an explanation. That could go anywhere. All
right. Apparently, scientists are studying the flight of bumblebees in an effort to work out how the insects manage to remain steady in adverse weather conditions. Okay, so Harvard University have filmed bumblebees as they flew through a wind tunnel, right? This has enabled Dr. Ravi and his team to control the airflow the bees had to contend with. So they've given the poor bumblebees bad weather to cope with, but they're basically...
How did they entice them into the wind tunnel in the first place?
Lots of honey.
Was the drops of honey, yes. Is it? Follow the yellow prick road.
He says...
God.
Let me finish. He said,
"As we've all
you want me to carry on, or shall I
carry on?" No, please go.
Dr. Ravi said, "As we have all experienced, the wind speed direction outdoors can be very variable."
Yeah, to something 250 times smaller than you, you really have no collective experience of that. No.
Absolutely, and that's the point. That's the whole point. What they couldn't work out was how insects so small could actually fly in adverse weather conditions. So that's why they got all these, and they said bumblebees are particularly good at it. So they've been filming them and watching them and putting smoke through the wind tunnel to see how they cope with it. And basically, this will help them basically set up controlling smaller remote control vehicles, aircraft, etc. But it's the fact that they've got these bumblebees and they've got a whole wind tunnel and they've done all this research. They've filmed the bees using high-speed cameras.
How much does this research cost?
It doesn't tell me that.
And the only thing they're going to be able to do is fly remote control planes better.
He says the best micro air vehicles with a wingspan of 25 centimetres, about 10 inches, available today, struggle to fly stably when there is even a light breeze. But bumblebees, yes, they can fly in adverse weather conditions. So we want to learn more.
But it's made a big buzz, hasn't it?
Oh, badumtish.
Do you think, if I was one of those scientists doing that and I was prepping the wind tunnel and we were ready to start the test, I would put the Flight of the Bumblebee song on in the background. That just seems...
just to inspire them.
I've got to say, there is a video of this, watching the bees as well.
No.
It even looks like they've got vests and numbers on the back. Can I put a link in the chat room?
Oh, do it. I can't press play though because it'll kill the feed.
No, don't do that. Don't do that.
Science, it's bbc.co.uk /news/science-environment-241-49440. There you go.
If you they've got little jackets on.
Yeah.
They put jackets on the bees. Oh, I've got to risk this. Hang on.
I would think that would impede their ability to fly efficiently.
It's only 3 seconds long. He's like, I'm going to make it. Oh, no. Then he turned off and he whipped back the other way.
Hang on, I'm going to try and get it on the
brilliant.
Feed.
It's brilliant. It's 13, 15 seconds long, but it is It's quite good. It's the jacket on the back that makes me laugh.
Yeah, but if you look at the bee's face, he's like, I've had enough of this. He really has had enough.
When I signed up for this, I thought I was going to benefit humankind, but here I am benefiting remote control vehicles. So we were laughing quite hard before we had the crash. Barrett, bees wearing jackets, and there's a picture of a bee wearing a triangular jacket in a wind tunnel being oppressed by some mad scientist. Yeah, chatting went off on a buzz frenzy and a bee frenzy. Bee right back and all that kind of stuff.
Those are yellow jackets.
Those what?
Those are yellow jackets.
Yeah, we call them bumblebees.
No, they're literally yellow jackets.
Sorry.
Boy, it's bad when I got to explain
it. It is.
I just gave up on that one. Three times.
All right. Fair enough. Fair point.
You know how long?
Whose audio's gone then?
I'm here.
I didn't hear. Did everyone hear Carrie? Because I didn't.
No.
Carrie, what'd you say?
Oh, it's not even worth going back on.
Right. Righty, it's your turn.
That explains it. I knew the joke was hilarious.
Because no one laughed.
Nobody was laughing. But clearly there was an audio problem.
Of course, mate. You're hilarious. Apparently as well, Adam was having a watch remotely and just saw your Atari stuff and it was like so cool. So Adam's got wood. There we go. Right, Righty, what have you got for us, boy?
Well, I haven't got fantastic retro consoles. I haven't got flying animals. I've got the fact that major hardware manufacturers that were once loyal to Microsoft aren't making Windows laptops anymore. The fact that EFA this year that HP, Acer, Samsung, Toshiba are all making Chromebooks now. And is it a fact that they don't have any faith in Windows 8?
That's a shame because I've got to say, I spent today, this morning, trying to make sure that my little presentation played. And I sat in a room with a guy and the HP Pavilion computer that was the network computer that was playing everything out was brilliant. It played really well. It was very stable. It was a good power. And even the internal speaker of the computer was very, very good. It filled the room that we were in. And it's a shame if they're stepping away from Windows because, you know, HP has been the stalwart of the commercial market for Windows for a long time.
Was that running Windows 8?
It was running XP.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, that bloody works, doesn't it?
It might have been 2000.
Yeah. But
even better.
I think there's a stigma attached to Windows 8 in the fact that people are looking for more affordable kind of, especially mobile devices, and the fact that Microsoft's major hardware partners are actually turning to things like Chromebooks.
I'm not surprised, and I'm actually a little happy to see that Microsoft's not just so disconnected with their customers, but also with their partners as well, their hardware partners. You know, they really set them off when they came out with that Surface. Was it called the Surface?
I don't remember what it's called anymore.
And it's just bombed. And they undermined their hardware partners by making it themselves and not giving the hardware partners an opportunity to manufacture it for them. And I think the hardware partners have had enough. And with Windows 8.1 or Windows 8 anyway, Microsoft said, well, sales aren't as good as they should be because the hardware makers aren't including the touchscreens. It really works better with the touchscreen. The hardware makers are saying people don't want to spend that much money. The cost of the touchscreen is far too much. It adds too much cost to the unit. We have to make them without, or the consumer won't buy them.
Right, yeah.
And so there's a lot of finger pointing going on. If I was a hardware maker, I'd about had it with Microsoft too.
Yeah, because these Chromebooks are coming in under $300 as well.
Well, I just don't want to hear the excuses. And as a consumer, I don't want to hear the excuses. Well, you know, most people, 80% of the people do it this way. So that's the way everybody's going to have to do it. People like choice. And you need to give the hardware manufacturers choice. If they want to build those touchscreens or not, you need your operating system to be able to adapt. When they make their Xbox, they need to be able to have it, you know, vertical or horizontal, going back to the first story. Microsoft doesn't do that. They like to say, you're going to have it our way and you're going to like it. Without any consideration for the fact that
there's a lot of tech companies like that
out there who will gladly give you exactly what you want for less money.
Yeah, we're not in the same space that we were 10 years ago. They've got to move on.
Well, back in the day when Microsoft was, you know, against IBM, you were rooting for Microsoft. Go Microsoft. Yeah. And now Microsoft doesn't seem to care anymore what the consumer actually wants. And what's interesting is I don't think Steve Jobs ever really cared what the customer wanted. Steve Jobs wanted what Steve Jobs wanted, but for some reason that worked. You know, he had his finger more on the pulse of what people wanted than all of the bureaucracy at Microsoft seems to get focus groups to make these decisions.
He had his finger on the pulse of what he wanted to tell people that they wanted.
Yeah, but Microsoft they were coerced doing the same more thing, easily. But it's not working for Microsoft.
Yeah, no. People hate Microsoft because they're Microsoft a little bit at the moment. I think that's the point I made when Ballmer was ousted as CEO. You know, he said, "I said, I think people just want to hate Microsoft more than they want to be objective and appraise Microsoft in the right way. They just want to find a way of picking and poking at them."
Yeah, but they're climbing down again, aren't they? You know, 8.1 start menu returns, all that sort of thing. You know, they're admitting mistakes, aren't they?
Yeah, but I think that's exactly what
the start menu is like—a big middle finger to Microsoft, going, "Oh, you want your start menu back? All right, we'll give you your start menu back." When you click it, you think you're going to see a list of programs? No. It's when you click it, it's going to take you back to the Metro Interplace. So enjoy your start button. F you, public. That's effectively what Microsoft is saying.
Mm.
The problem, Microsoft,
it's not really a start button.
The problem Microsoft have got is they've been up here and they're now being attacked and they're on a slide and they're trying everything to get back up because the share price will be hit. You know, the forward share price is going to be hit. Going forward, it's all concern about the future and about how much value they can bring to that share price. And when you're at the top of the tree and you start sliding, it's very difficult if you've not got somebody who can say, right, we're going to do this. It's going to take us 10 years, 5 years, whatever it is, and we're going to go that way. And they haven't got that at the moment.
10 years is a long time, though.
Well, five, that's why I brought down to 5 years. Business. I mean, people are talking about, you know, 10 years and the change of the tablet. I think we're going to see massive changes in, you know, 3 and 4 years.
3 months.
Yeah. But the world has changed from the age of the old kind of PC laptop, because back when saying in the chat room, you know, a Chromebook of £300, and the world is a lot more connected now. And I have Chrome on my iPhone, my iPad, my Mac, my PC, and I can do everything in that browser now, really, everything I really want to do. So it does show that the Chrome OS is kind of coming to maturity as well. And it is something that people know now. The Chrome browser is a lot of people where I work, they do ask for the Chrome browser. And
it's becoming bloatware, though, isn't it?
Chrome browser?
Yeah, I've heard that it's getting, you know, I don't use it a lot, and I've heard that it's becoming a bit slow because they're starting to shove, you know, his man and his dog in there.
Yeah, but it does, you know, if I log into any device that I have, it remembers what I did last time, all my passwords, all my shortcuts, all my favorites, all that sort of thing. And because people are connected a lot more now, they associate Chrome, they do everything on the web. The thing with Microsoft is they're still in that kind of world where everything's done on the device itself.
Yeah.
And people are kind of more open to be cloud-based now. I think people are a lot more open to it. And if you walk into a PC world and you've got a £600 laptop and you've got a £200 Chromebook, and they're going to say, what do you want to do? I want to do my email, I'm going on Facebook, I want to do Twitter. Well, I'll buy the £200 Chromebook. Mm. Because that's what, you know, the same way that people are kind of moving to tablets as well. And it's just, the thing that makes it more interesting is that Microsoft's major hardware partners are making Chromebooks, and they're pushing them harder than they're pushing their Windows 8. Because you got people like Lenovo and stuff, and making these convertible tablets and everything. But HP and Acer and Samsung aren't really pushing that.
Is there a degree of profit making here as well, if it's a lot cheaper to put that OS on the system? Because, you know, we're not really moving forward a lot now with different CPUs. I mean, the processors now are enough to do what most people want to do.
Yeah.
So they're having to, you know, pull every angle to get as much profit out of those machines as they possibly can.
Yeah. But in the consumer market, like, you know, they're going to push things like Office and all that sort of thing. But who in the consumer market really buys Office now? Because there are so many alternatives now.
Yeah, not in the consumer market.
Don't need to, no.
No, and I think the Chromebooks and things like that, you know, I'm surprised that, you know, things like Ubuntu haven't made a really big kind of commercial push. You know, it's a free operating system, that sort of thing, because there are free alternatives to Office, and they are compatible with the enterprise market. If you write something in LibreOffice or OpenOffice, it's still compatible with Microsoft Office. You know, you haven't got to pay the 80 quid or whatever they want for it. So their kind of stranglehold they had on the market for doing everything locally doesn't really apply, because, you know, we're using Google Docs and things like that sort of thing now. And apart from kind of high-end kind of, you know, enterprise work, you don't actually need Office anymore. And that's where they stranglehold the whole market, you know, but it's not going to last forever.
No. Chat rooms are kind of agreeing with you guys. Chromebooks aren't really useful unless you've got a solid internet connection. I've been a victim of that this week. I've been working in the middle of London, smack in the middle of Victoria. I've used a 3 MiFi dongle that does HSPA Plus. And through utter frustration on Tuesday in the middle of the afternoon, when I lost connectivity completely, I went back to my original 3G dongle and got better performance. Excuse me, it's been a long week. I got better performance. And the building I was in is a steel frame building, I'm guessing, and it's acting like a Faraday cage and just blocking any signal. I'm smack in the middle of London. So they're absolutely right. If I'd have had a Chromebook, I'd have been utterly lost this week. Chromebooks still have keyboards, so there's very little comparison with tablets. Tone says, yep, if you want to do much else than web browsing, the basic doc editing and so on takes too much power. You need something that's bigger, though, that'll cope with it. There's a lot of good points in there.
Yeah, but they are developing the OS to work a lot more offline, where they were kind of, we're going to be internet on all the time. Mm. They are developing it to be offline and sync when you have got connection. So it's, you know, in the early days, it would have been a useless device without a connection. But as it moves on, it's kind of in the same way.
There's a huge problem there with backup, mate. You're going to talk about, I'm going to work offline, and then when I hit a connection, it's going to go off online. Well, that's my one copy. And if I lose that one copy, that's it.
But obviously, these huge manufacturers are seeing a market in this. The fact that they're going to make these things and push them.
Because HP hasn't got a clue what it's doing, even under Meg.
Well, no, well, yeah. But the fact that people like Toshiba and Samsung are pushing these, and they're pushing them harder than they have pushed their Windows 8 machines in the last 6 months.
Because they're cheaper, because they haven't got to pay for the OS license.
Yeah, but people are buying them as well, because we've got a lot of them in, and they are really popular. And all right, yeah, if you aren't going to be near a network connection, yes, it's not going to be for you. But if you are a person who is near a network connection or a mobile hotspot, then it is a good, cheap alternative to a laptop. And I think that market is increasing.
We've got a tech support call immediately here in the chat room. This is live breaking news. Holy crap. I've just plugged my 925 charging via my Mac on mains power. I plugged in the external battery into my Mac and boom, must have shorted out. My Mac instantly powered down fully. Any idea what's happened?
Says Alan. I think we have a quiet 5 minutes silence.
No. I'll tell you what, I had a similar thing happen to me when I did something on a Mac Mini, and they've got some cleverness in that power brick as well. So hopefully you've got, and I had to leave it 5 minutes, 5-10 minutes, and it booted back up. It then powered itself back up. So give it a few minutes and try it again. And then if your house burns down, don't blame me.
Belts has gone for the Apple is not compatible with Mac line instead. Just to...
There is a chip in Mac, so if you plug a Nokia phone in, it is going to blow.
It's the FU chip.
Yes.
Oh, sorry, I didn't realise it was his Nokia that he'd plugged in now.
He's plugged in a 95. He probably only bought that 95 because I recommended it.
Well, he did that because obviously Nokia are now Microsoft, aren't they? It knew.
Of course.
It knew.
We were talking about him. That was it. Yeah, definitely.
Translation, turn it off and on again, yeah.
I can't take it anymore.
Now, Carrie, do you have Tesco out there in the States?
Yeah, we have some of them, longer. Yes.
Not much longer, are they?
They're a little tiny store. I mean, compared to what we...
They're not Myers out there and that kind of place. Kroger and Target.
There was one that opened by my house, and they expanded really, really fast. It just came out of nowhere. Most Americans don't know the origin. I was really excited because I was thinking I was going to be able to get some British goods there, and there wasn't any at all. I thought, just give me an aisle, just one aisle. No, it was mostly, you know, fruits, vegetables, some prepared pre-prepared meals that you take home and ready to make. And for the most part, about one quarter of the size of a normal grocery store that I would go to. But they had good prices. And then that closed up.
Oh.
So for me to go to Tesco now, I got to drive quite a ways to find one that's still open. And they were in the process of building another one. That one never opened. The building's still there with the sign out front, and it never, ever got lit up.
Yeah, so their American adventures failed, I believe.
Well, it happened right during the big housing problems, you know, while people losing their homes. It's right when they were in the process of opening all these Tescos. And why do you ask?
Because they're bringing out a tablet here in the UK. We got the specs leaked to us. I'd like to say thank you to the person that gave us the specs. I can't say their name because Tesco will sack them. John Smith, someone that I know who works for Tesco has given me the specs, and I've leaked them out this week via PC Pro as well as our site. But they are coming out on Monday, 23rd. There's an announcement, and one of the things that's quite interesting and quite exciting, I think, is the expansion of the micro SD slot in the specs. It's a 1 GHz quad core processor, quad core graphics, no size known for that at the moment. 1 GB of RAM, 16 GB of onboard storage, but there's a micro SD in there as well. And it's got micro HDMI out and also a micro USB for charging and for output. And it's available in a few colours, but it's also going to try and take on the Kindle Fire. So it's hitting there with books. At the moment, there isn't a store for Blinkbox books, but they bought Blinkbox Video, so that's gone. So the video's coming out with it. There's TV as well, and there's a bookstore coming out with it too. And the thing I was thinking was that could be, if they get the price right, that's a big hit. The Fire is maybe retaliated a bit soon because you can actually pick up a Fire now for £99 in the UK. So $130 over here, which is
Will they have those at the checkout aisle next to the gum?
Yeah.
And the mints, you just pick that up and they just beep, run it across the scanner and throw it in the bag. Yeah.
If you look at the crap that Apple's come out with the iPhone 5C in blue, purple, red and black, this thing isn't going to be particularly classy, I don't think.
Well, as long as it hasn't got blue and white stripes on the back, you'd be fine, won't you?
It's true. It's Android-based, and they're going to allow free upgrade to the Android system as well. They haven't skinned it as their own. It's got their apps on it, but it hasn't got a skin that's there. So you can get the next OS update for Android when it comes out, which I think is a really cool thing. Good luck to them.
Man, it sounds racist that you're going to buy your device based on the color of its skin, but, you know, to each its own.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, but it is a logical kind of evolution for them because they are moving into movies and that sort of thing and books, you know, they're going to want to do that, aren't they?
I think some of these companies are going to make money on the device itself, though, because an awful lot of people are going to buy these, have a look at it, and then put it in the corner and never use it again.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that was the problem with the $35 Indian tablet that was touted. We had Emma Mac on the show, and I said, it's great. You know, I'll buy one and have a look at it, see what it's like. She said, yeah, but then what are you going to do with it? You can put it in landfill. There's a battery in there. There's a whole pile of components. There's crap, you know.
Yeah, but. Isn't the Kindle Fire kind of sold at cost because they're looking?
Did you call it the Kindle Fast then?
The Kindle Fire.
Yeah, but I know a lot of people that have done exactly that though. They've got one of those Kindle Fires and then they've not made any purchases on it.
Well, then that model's out the window because they're selling that at cost to make you buy things after you buy it. So
there must still be enough people that are, you know, buying content to make them the money.
But that's the point. And that's where Tesco are coming, is they want the content sale. They don't want the tablet sale.
And they're probably making a couple of quid on every tablet and hoping that you start to Blinkbox and download all their films.
I tell you, they're not even worried about that. They want throughput. They want, if you've got that in our store, you can come to our store. It means you don't have to go anywhere else or anything. It's one of those processes.
Mm. Don't want you going to town, do they? Don't want you going to PC World or anything like that. They just want you to get your frozen peas and your tablet.
Well, they sell stationery, envelopes, clothes, you know, the whole caboodle.
Well, there will be a purchasing app for the store, their Tesco online store, apparently.
So. Well, yeah. That's going to be front page on the app, isn't it?
It's worth a go for them, you know, even if they did it at a cost. It's worth a go as an experiment.
Absolutely. So, Carrie, has this come over to any US stores yet? No US stores are selling their own app tablet.
Well, I mean, as far as grocery stores, no. I mean, there's no.
Well, that's it. I mean, Tesco does sell TVs, and they're getting into the electronics market as well.
But when you've got like Walmart out here that sells everything, I wouldn't be surprised if they wanted to brand their own product. That wouldn't surprise me, and it would be appropriate at a department store like Walmart. But at a grocery store, it seems like you're not targeting the right crowd there. I'm trying to go get dinner. I'm not shopping for electronics. And when
dude,
I'm shopping
dude,
for electronics,
what the hell are you doing walking in a supermarket? What on earth are you doing walking in a supermarket? You're shopping from home, right? You get your groceries delivered, right?
You're so 1990s.
You know, it's 110 degrees outside, and I've yet to get the milk delivered cold. No, it's, you know, the
refrigerated wagons.
Anything but food I order online. And that's the other thing. If I'm going to buy a tablet or a computer, I'm much prefer to order it online. I think they should have them like in a big stack and you could weigh it at the grocery store and you pay by how much it weighs. That would be great. You know, have different screen sizes. They would, you know, the bigger screen would weigh more, have a bigger battery.
We never go
put
shopping.
Put it on the scale, put it in a plastic bag, twist tie it.
Our main shop, the monthly shop where we buy everything in for the whole month, that's done online and it turns up at the door in a refrigerated wagon, dude. Those are amazing things. You've got to get on those things. They're great. It's all cold when it comes out. It's brilliant.
I mean, how tough is your life? You have to have groceries delivered to your door?
No, I don't have to.
You're not home when they show up. They just leave it at the door?
No, you arrange a time slot, and they stick in that time slot. Oh, they're really good. They come within a two-hour window.
Where's the impulse buying? You're walking down the aisle, and there's a product you've never seen before.
Said the man who's walking around with a frigging flip phone that's 5 years old.
How do you pinch the tomatoes? I don't understand.
Are you pinching as in like testing the squeezability of them? Are you talking about nicking
them? Saying, you know, shopping is an event. How would you strip
well, for
your
you,
life
maybe.
Of that?
Do you sell tickets
that?
For your shopping or something?
I love grocery shopping. You know what I love about grocery shopping? There is nothing in that store I can't afford. I'm like a king. I'm like, I will have one of those and I will have two of those. Put that in the cart. I can't do that in an electronics store. I can't do that at a car dealer. I can't go to an art shop and be like, give me two of these and one of them. But at the grocery store, anything in that place is mine if I want it. Just saying.
If you'd like tickets for Carrie's shopping experience, they're on Ticketmaster.com. And I think the ones for next month go on sale at the end of the show. I think we're done. This podcast and all the others that don't appear on the network next month are sponsored by UK2.net. They're brilliant. They've got a new service out, which I couldn't tell you about a while ago. They will build your website for you. It's not just a case of, I don't know how to tie it to my shopping cart and my PayPal account and all that kind of stuff, which Website Builder does for you anyway. They will build your website for you. And here's the best part. They will give you one page of your website FOC. Not a page, not a chart. You just send them a drawing of what you want and they'll make the damn thing. UK2 are really expanding their service. They've got dedicated servers, they've got co-location services, they've got domain names, they've got all the great stuff like that. But they are absolutely fabulous. They've been supporting us for a long period of time. You've got to check them out. Go to our website, go to the sponsors page, use the offer codes that are there. You must use our click through to use the offer codes, otherwise we don't get the kudos for sending you. But please support Yuko2, because they support us. They've got some great stuff out there, isn't it? They've got some fantastic new ideas. So stick around, watch what's going on. There's something else coming next month as well, which I still can't tell you about. So that good. That good. Right. It's time for the cool thing. Maybe I'm not party to this, but Righty, do you want to start us off?
Go on, I'll give it a go.
I'm just thinking about the stories that we've had. The cool things are really not going to be cool, so I'm going for something that should make you laugh.
Have you bought a rampant rabbit or something? No.
No. It's sort of tech. Anyway, I'll shut up.
Mine sounds really dull, but all I can think about is bees with little jackets on. That's all I can do. Anyway, surprises. Cool thing this week is I work for iOS.
That's boring.
No, it is boring, but not boring for me because...
It's a joke. It's all right, wait, carry on. No, carry on, it was a joke.
Yeah, okay. I digress. When they announced at the iOS, no, at the iPhone announcement that new devices would get all the iWork stuff for free, didn't they? They said it would be on new devices. So I assumed that it would be 5Cs and 5Ss. But I wasn't too enamored with the 5C and the 5S. So I went and got a free upgrade of a 5. When I upgraded to iOS 7 on Wednesday, it suddenly went, you can have all the iWork stuff for free. I was like, well, that wasn't on the cards. So I gave it a go, downloaded them. Also then went to my iPad and then went collab on my iPad and went, yeah, you've already got them on your iPhone. And actually, it's the syncing and everything like that is absolutely fantastic. And I was never going to pay the money for them because I didn't think it actually worked that well. But getting them free, it was worth a go. So those sort of apps, especially if you're getting one of the new phones now and getting that for free, I think you get Pages, Numbers, Keynote, iMovie, and iPhoto. But if you're getting a new phone or you've got a new device in the last, I don't know, couple of weeks, absolutely fantastic bargain. I think it's like 20 quid worth of apps, isn't it? So,
there you go.
Been giving them a go. They don't sync with the iCloud beta at the moment for some reason. I don't know what that is, but you know. If you've bought a new device in the last few weeks, just double check on your App Store updates and they're all free.
Excellent. According to Winride in the chat room, it works on newly activated iOS 7 devices activated after the 1st of September.
Good old P.
Good P. Good stat. Thanks, man. Gazmaz, what do you have for us?
Go on. I was going to give you a choice.
Okay. Go on.
And so I'm just going to go for this one instead.
Oh, he's polishing his rocket.
What the hell?
Well, you know, after the fun that we had earlier, yeah, okay, it's very basic. I'm just going to paste a link into the show notes. It's a flask. Boring, I know, but I tell you what, we've had flasks in the past.
Are you 70?
No, hang on a minute. Hang on a minute. All right, I'll get the other one. Do you want this one instead?
Oh, I picked that the other week. You can't have it. It's the Manfrotto from Costco.
Ah, oh, you.
I bought two of them.
All right, back to my flask. It keeps things really hot or really cool. I'm going now.
That's what flasks do, for Christ's sake.
No, they don't, though. They don't. Like some tripods work better than others. Some flasks.
This tripod does not keep my coffee hot.
No, but this flask will. That's why I went for it, because of the fun that we were having earlier.
The Battle Witch is impressed by your mighty shiny thing.
I bet she is.
Moving on.
I'm sorry, I just couldn't resist that.
Mr. Holtzman, what do you have for us as a cool thing?
Oh, I completely forgot about the cool thing part.
He had plenty of cool things earlier.
Yeah, I showed off my cool things already. Well, you know, there's a really cool commercial that they've got on YouTube for Forza Motorsport 5, which is really, really technically cool, where they put up a bunch of billboards along a racetrack, and they run the car down the track at 100 miles an hour, putting a camera out to the side so it sees the billboards, and it forms a movie that plays that when the car's driving 100 miles an hour, it does each frame.
Right. This is a real really car, cool not... thing. Yeah, this is a real car.
It's a real car. It's a real track. It's
how they made Forza.
Each one got the next frame in it. And if you haven't seen it, it's very cool. I can't even imagine what that must have cost to make. But it fits as a cool, I don't know if it's a thing, but it's cool.
Excellent. My cool thing, I've got two things. First cool thing is Lee. I've had an air conditioning unit for this office. I don't know if you can hear it in the background, but it's very quiet. I deliberately bought it. It's a knockoff thing that's very good, very quiet. But I've had it in my cupboard for a year, couldn't get anyone to fit it, and Lee fitted it for me this week. I am sat here in 16 degrees in my office. Now, if anyone who's been in my office knows, it's very tiny. And I've got in here, I've got 8 computers running, and I've got... 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 external drive units that are all chugging away, pumping out heat. And it does get very hot in here. I never put the heating on in the winter because it's just so warm in here normally. And I'll probably, even in the dead of winter with snow on the ground outside, I'll be sat here in shorts. So my air conditioning unit is an absolute lifesaver. Thank you, Lee. He's a great bloke. My other pick.
So what's cool thing? Is it Lee or is it the aircon?
The air. Well, it's Lee because Lee fitted it finally after a year. The aircon was not particularly cool because it was sat in the frigging shed. So there you go.
So when you say cool, you literally meant
it's cool. It's a cool thing.
It keeps things cool as well, you know.
But thanks, mate. It's full of hot air. My proper cool thing is the Canon 100D. Now, if you haven't seen this, this thing is a DSLR from Canon, and it's about 70%, 60% of the size of their normal DSLRs. So if you take the 450D, which is kind of like the smallest of the old versions, this thing's about 70% of that size. It's really, really tiny. It takes all your Canon lenses, and I got one through on approval to try out, and I bought it. I'd only used it for an hour and I bought it. I rang it and gave the guy my credit card number because it is stunning. The video on it is incredible. The reason I wanted it was because I've got a 5-meter boom and my 6D with a battery pack on it makes the boom bounce, which is no good when you're trying to do a smooth scroll or something like that. So I bought this little thing. I thought this would be great for it. Just basic shots. It doesn't matter if it's not particularly brilliant, but it'll be good enough. And I took some stuff with it on Monday, and within half an hour of using it, I was ready to have it. It was absolutely stunning, and it's £449 at the moment at Wex Photographic, if you want to buy it. So, I bought another.
They're all going that way, though, Ewan, aren't they, at the moment?
It's bloody marvellous, mate. The video quality is stunning. The stills are great. I put them both at 100% in Photoshop. I couldn't tell the difference between the 6D one and the D100 one. The 100D run. It was ridiculously simple. And the video...
It looks like the SL1, I think, is what that camera is here. 18 megapixel?
Yeah.
$680 with the lens on Amazon.
No, I bought it body only, but it's $449, I think, body only in the UK. And I've got to say...
$599 here.
The video on it is better than my 60. Better quality than my 60. So I bought another. I have two of them now. And I'll be using those professionally forever, as far as I'm concerned. They were absolutely stunning. And the other thing that's nice, I've got like an eyepiece that you can click on the back. And when I put the 24-70 lens on it, it's almost like a little cylinder, and it's great. It's absolutely brilliant. So my recommendation, if you've got £449 kicking around and you want a really good quality camera, get a 100D, Canon 100D. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. There you go. Where can we get a hold of you then, Mr. Wright?
You'll get me on Twitter at Paulums, and doing some serious BTN review work this weekend.
Ah, good man, good man, good man. We're looking forward to it. We should be good. We're working hard. We've got to get more review units, mate. Definitely.
Yeah, we've got to kind of shake the right people, haven't we?
Definitely. If that's not a euphemism for something, it should be.
It is round here.
Excellent job. Gazmaz, where are you, sir?
Nice and easy. You can find me pretty much everywhere as Gazmaz, G-A-Z-M-A-Z. You can go to gazmaz.com and see all the shows that I appear on. And, you know, I'm a cuckoo podcaster. I'll let other people do the work.
Good lad. Nothing wrong with that. And last but by no means least, Mr. Uncontactable. Where are you, Mr. Holtzman?
Uncontactable. Just because I'm not on Twitter?
Yeah, okay, good point. You're on Facebook. And
I've been doing a lot of YouTube videos lately. A lot of a lot of how to build a computer videos step by step. If you've never ever assembled a computer in your life, but you know how to hold a screwdriver and follow along like a monkey, you can do it. YouTube.com/ Carey Holzman, CareyHolz, or Z, as you guys like to say.
Good luck.
MAN.
That's right. And you're on Facebook as well, aren't you?
I am on
Facebook.
Friend face, yeah.
Have you got 5,000 friends yet?
I think I'm around 1,000, close to 1,000, 800, something like that.
That's good.
Yeah, they're all very close to me.
Yeah. Do you let them play with your Atari?
They can play anything they want.
Oh, ouch.
But I tell you, no, I've just put a new video up that shows a build. I've got another build coming out. It's a $4,300 build using a Cosmos 2 case from Cooler Master, which is almost as tall as me. I realize that's not saying much, but watching me get it up on the counter is quite comical. So that's the one I'm working on now.
Again, if you're an audio podcast, that'll have far more effect.
Oh, the Tech Vets podcast, too, of course. We talk about how to the trials and tribulations of running your own computer repair business. That's a free podcast at tech-vets.com.
There you go. Good man. With Mike Smith, is that Mike Smith?
With Mike Smith of the Mike Tech Show, yeah. Right, just nerding it out.
Give him my regards.
Yeah, I think we're up on show like 112, something like that, 112.
No, we don't care.
So, been around for a while. Just saying.
Good man. Thank you. We'll be back again next week with a big show as normal. We'll be back to Thursday night as promised, unless I get a shedload of work, but I don't think I am next week. I'm fairly quiet. I'm home and sleeping in my own bed every night without a 5 a.m. start, so we'll be good. We'll be around Thursday night for the big show. Friday, we've got the Mac show at 3:30, and I can start then to truly vent my displeasure with Apple. And I may even get a photo show out soon. Who knows? If you've got some questions for photo show, send them in. That'd be really useful. See you next week. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Oh, God, it's good to be back.
Isn't it?
Just a bit.